Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey, my name is James Petragallo.
I'm Jimmy Wissman.
Please join us every single Tuesday for Crime in Sports.
So fun.
You like sports?
You don't have to.
Let's just set up a context and find out what an idiot did wrong. What
I
do
like
you say?
It. I'm in.
We're going to do that each and every week. We take an athlete, we break him down, we make fun of everything he's ever done.
Yeah. But in order to do that, we have to build up and tell you all about their career and get you to what, James?
To grace.
That's
and then
right.
Watch them fall from grace.
Who
as
doesn't
they inevitably
like that?
Do. Join us. Big criminals, small criminals, sports you've never heard of, doesn't matter. It's the crime, it's the comedy, it's such a good time. Join us every Tuesday for Crime in Sports.
You can join us every Tuesday at PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe on all Apple products.
Find us every Tuesday and laugh at people.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for all you do. We love that about you, don't we, Matt D'Andrea?
Hello. How are you?
Good to see you, man.
Yeah. You're out of town for a few days.
I was out of town. You were at the auto show.
I was at the LA Auto Show. I went to the Radwood car event. It's 1980 through 1999 cars. And everybody dresses up like period correct. So there was like Madonna and Flava Flav and Miami Vice, and everybody was in costume, and it was a trip.
I will ask you this question. Everyone went through like the bad 80s, 90s. They went through the bad look, the hair, the attire, this, that, and the other.
Yeah. Now it looks like Halloween. Like, you go to an event, everybody dresses like that. It's Halloween.
All right. Chicks had their big hair. Guys had their big hair.
Yeah.
And nobody escaped from it, except for me, by the way, who never did anything. Now, I had a couple reasons why I never got caught up into that trap.
Yeah.
One, I'm smarter than everybody. Like, all I did was look at everyone and go, you're going to hate to see these pictures in 10 years. It's embarrassing.
Like, I feel that way about like everybody's like wedding photos from the day. We're like, look at those pork chops on your side of your face. Do you think those are timeless?
here's the problem. Here's the problem. Are you listening, Max Zapata?
Always.
When I did my house and I finished it up in like my big Lake Hollywood house, and I finished that big Spanish masterpiece up. I finished it up in like, I don't know, 2004, something like that. And it was at the height of a trend in home furnishings called shabby chic.
Yeah.
Everyone was going shabby chic. And so my wife was saying, let's go shabby chic when we like put the rooms together. And I was like, and she was saying, I love it. Jimmy's ex-wife's got the shabby chic thing.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I love the stuff. And I go, don't get sucked into that. That's what's going on right now.
Right.
You don't want people coming in here in 10 years and going, oh, shabby chic. But when you're living in it, whether it's pork chop sideburns or teased out hair, you go, but this is cool. This is what's going on.
Yeah,
and you have this thing, and your goal is to have people see a picture. First off, same thing with the cars. This is the same thing. It's why all those goddamn ZZ Top mobiles and everything drove me nuts, because they'd get the T-bucket.
Chris's skinny jeans.
They get the stupid. They get the Roadster. And then they put on all the billet steering wheel and the billet wheels and all the 80s stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
The purple and yellow paint.
Yeah,
the
hello.
Scallops.
Right. So you took a car from the 20s or 30s.
Yeah.
And you did this to it. And now we know exactly what year you did it.
Yeah.
Your job, whether you're doing an old Spanish house or an old Lamborghini or an old T-bucket, is to put it back exactly how it was. And then no one ever goes, oh, so the house is 1929, but you guys decorated in 2003, 2004? Because, yeah, they can tell.
Yeah, yeah.
The worst is when you'd go into these houses, if you live out in Los Angeles, and you have folks that live, let's say, on the west side, and there's these areas on the west side off of like Beverly and Melrose and in there and whatever. And they have these rows of all these cool old Spanish duplexes side streets, right? And those cool old Spanish places were built in 1931. You know, they're all just built in like the 20s and 30s, right? Now, if you take a Spanish duplex and you build that in 1925 or 1930, guess what year your kitchen and bathroom need to be remodeled? Not 10 years later, in which case you would have been cool.
Yeah.
1974. That's right. The year the kitchen and the bathroom, because the thing was built in 29. It's about 40 years, the stuff shot, like it's time to do it.
Yeah.
All of them have the avocado green laminate countertops. They look like the goddamn Brady Bunch. So it looks like somebody took this beautiful Spanish hacienda with like vaulted ceilings and terracotta pavers on the floor and everything, and then put the Brady Bunch kitchen in it from 1974.
I was just in a house in my neighborhood, and I walked in, and it had like a built-in kind of seating thing in the kitchen with like a round table, but it was like built-in.
Banquet!
And the appliances were green, and the oven had like a porthole, like of a ship. Yeah. And the other was like the size of a...
Because it was done because somebody said, we're redoing our kitchen.
Yeah.
Great. What year's the building? 1928. Fine. What year is it now? 1974. Okay. 1974 it shall be. Now.
You want to be timeless. I understand that. Are there any fads right now that you see happening that you think are just going to look terrible?
With what? Fashion?
No, I mean, in houses, like doing cars? Houses and stuff like that. Because, you know, like in the 80s, they had those cubes, those clear cubes that you would just see like on walls. And
there's a lot of the clear glass block walls.
Like stuff like that just screams 80s and it just looks terrible now. Like, what is there anything going on now that you think people should not be doing?
Well, personally, I'll tell you the funniest. I'll tell you the best. Like, if you want to know, we'll put a picture up there. And I mean this with great respect. Zach Wilde, I believe, Ozzy's guitarist. If you see a picture of him from 1989, he looks like the girlfriend of a guy in Cinderella. Not okay. Even a bandmate, not even a band, not a player in Cinderella. And then if you look at him now, he looks like Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
Which I would argue is just changing the look with the time. I guess that's rock and roll.
I guess.
You have to go from turning
I don't know, Chris, is it rock and roll?
You go from, well, you're essentially, if it's the 80s, you look like a chick. You're wearing Aquanet and shit. And now you look like, you know, basically, what's his name with all the Porsches?
Magnus Walker.
Magnus Walker. Like, you look like Magnus. That's what going... Now, life...
I saw Magnus at the SEMA banquet, which is all very formal in suits, but he's committed to this look, right? So you can't wear a suit
or
anything.
Not enough
like,
hair. You're just... Sorry. I need a picture with even more glammy on the first one. So,
like...
But my point... Here's my point. My point is, whether it's a car or whether it's a kitchen... Your job is to put it back how it was. Do not put the billet steering wheel on your car from the 30s. Just put the regular wheel back on. Now, you say to yourself, well, Adam, you did your house from 1929. Now, what do you do with the kitchen? Like, what do you do with all the appliances and stuff? I got all stainless steel appliances, and then I painted them.
Right.
I took them to a place that paints DeLoreans. And I said, paint this car, paint them, and we'll paint them this vintage color. And all of a sudden, all my appliances look like they're of
they look the part.
Of the era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me about...
Me.
Yeah.
Let's get back to me. We're showing you a picture of Zach Wilde, and you can look it up at CarCast Show.
CarCastShow.com.
Yeah, and have a laugh over what he's turned into. But here's.
Do you have a now and then?
We'll do it. We'll do it. We'll do a now and then. That, now, my hair would not accommodate any other look than the look I have now.
Right. Okay.
Max Zapata will back me up. I don't know many people that can do this. Max Zapata, you're not old enough. You, Matt, you're barely old enough. I lived all the way through the 80s. There should be pictures of me with crazy fucked up hair.
Yeah.
I don't have any pictures. My hair is always exactly the same as it is now.
Yeah.
Exactly the same. You can find pictures of me at 17 or 19.
And so my brother, who's a little older, he didn't have real long hair, but he did get into this look a little bit more. But I was always like doing...
Oh, military.
Doing, yeah. I was always doing like ROTC and Civil Air Patrol stuff. And so it was always just short hair, you know, kind of thing. Yeah.
We got a before and after.
Yeah, wow.
that is not the same person.
He went from a chick to a longshoreman. All right, so we'll put that up.
Wow.
So here's me. Yeah, you had the military. See,
yeah.
You had hair, you have hair, that is capable of going off the rails.
Yeah.
You could have gone full mullet like your brother.
Yeah.
But you didn't. Now,
it's kind of feathered in the front. He had kind of a Rod Stewart thing going on.
Number one, nothing to do with my hair.
Yeah. You couldn't do it.
I could try, but it wouldn't work. That's number one. Number two...
You look like Eugene Levy.
Right. That's exactly what I look like. Number two, no money for any kind of clothing or fashion, anything. If you'd like to see a picture of me when I'm 21...
There's you and Zach Wilde.
That's me and my buddy Chris, who has long hair. Now, he looks like the lead singer from INXS, but guess who has short hair right now?
Yeah.
My buddy Chris. Max Bass.
Does he still have that shirt?
Is there... anything different about my hair from this picture from 1984?
That could have been taken last year.
The hair
is totally like you got different glasses and a different shirt, but everything else is the same.
It's exactly the same length, is it not?
It's exactly the same length.
You could not find any other assholes who are around now who took pictures in 1985 where their hair was exactly the same. So one, I didn't have money for threads. I didn't have money to be trendy. Like that, being trendy means you got to get a new wardrobe every few years.
Yeah.
I didn't have any of that. Number two, my hair couldn't do anything. And number three, I had no will to live. Like I was just like, look, first off, who are you fooling? Like you could go out and get some cowboy boots and get a look going for yourself. But like, who would you be fooling? Secondly, who are you? This is a joke. And then thirdly, if you... figure out a way to get with a chick, it's going to have to be based on something other than your wardrobe, because that's just never going to work. You're driving a pickup truck. You're living in an apartment with three guys.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so what? You go out looking like Don Johnson. Like, they have to head back to your apartment with the three dudes.
Yeah. And this is not Miami Vice. This is not where...
The picture we were looking at was Chris's 1984 Nissan pickup truck, which I bought off of him, which was the nicest pickup truck I'd ever had, the nicest vehicle I'd ever had up until then, with, as you can see, vinyl bench seat, no headrest. The picture looks weird because it looks like there's no roof on it. It's just faded out, or it's like a weird angle, but it's just a black Nissan, standard bed, standard cab, bench seat, beige interior.
That's a proud
truck.
Adam Carolla right there.
Yeah.
That's a proud Carolla.
Sweet, sweet ride.
Yeah. So tell me about on your way in here. I heard you've achieved platinum status. You've done something no human has in recorded history has done before.
Mm.
Platinum status of turns.
Yeah, and look, you guys know I don't like to talk about myself or my achievements, right, Max Spann?
I've yet to hear.
You've yet to hear.
Yeah.
And I'm proud to say, when it comes to driving through the left turn arrows, you know how, like, serial killers, they start off by, like, torturing bugs with a magnifying glass and stuff when they're kids, and then some point they move on to kittens and puppies. And then they go to full-blown prostitute, and then they start piling up the bodies. That's what I'm doing with turning left through arrows. Like, at the beginning, it was like, oh, would it be okay? I'm in the middle of Culver City. It's in the middle of the night. There's no cars anywhere.
You got to hesitate. I watch a lot of Criminal Minds. That first time you slice somebody, there's hesitation.
There's hesitation. First time. Now, I am driving inside of cars that are parked ready to turn. Yeah. I'm going outside of cars that are parked ready to turn. I'm doing my two for one where there's two lanes to turn left and two cars turn, and I still go around those pussies. And I did one. So, Max Zapata, you have to see if you can do the Google image map, whatever thing, where you go. Now, I'll try to describe this. You go to Santa Monica off the 10 freeway, street called Cloverfield.
Yeah.
I had a meeting out in Santa Monica this morning, hour and a half from my house to my 10 o'clock meeting. Cloverfield. And by the way, this is why I don't care about the law, because I was like, you assholes can't run a city. I just took an hour and 27 minutes to get from La Cañada to a 10 a.m. meeting in Santa Monica because you dickheads don't know how to run a fucking city. So
at 6 a.m., that's 35 minutes.
Right. With that in mind, I'm simply going to ignore your laws because you're not providing anything for me. I was on Cloverfield leaving the meeting with Amazon. I was driving toward the 10, and I was going to get on the 10, Max Zapata, and I was going to head east.
So you're probably going south on Cloverfield.
South on Cloverfield.
And you're going to get 10 east.
10 east. And there is a two-car line to turn left there. And not only is there a two-car line, there's an island.
Okay.
But the island gives you enough. So there's a two-car line to turn left. There's an island. A lot of this was inspired by the move where it's like the first person could have made the signal but slammed the brakes on anyway. It's a, shift to the left. There you go. Sorry, we're looking at it now. There's a two-car left turn thing with an island that goes out into the thing, and cars turning right coming the other direction.
Yeah, so you're going to make a left turn onto the freeway, and there's already cars going the opposite direction, turning right onto the freeway, merging with you.
But not going straight.
Not going straight.
And we got the left turn arrow, and I went all around the suckers, and then realized there's an island here, and I just cut in and went across the island. And that's my piece de resistance. I've never done more. I've done left in front of two cars, multiple cars, and all that kind of stuff. I've never done the left with the island that came out. The island came out a ways.
Then you didn't see it until?
Maybe I did. I'm going to thread the needle. And also a line of cars turning right. It's not like there weren't cars coming the other way. Yeah. They were in the right lane and they were turning right.
That's like a Tetris move. That's like a full on Tetris move. It's good.
Yeah. Never felt better about myself.
And you know, the guys in the cars were a little bit like, something doesn't feel right. Was that wrong? Was he doing like, it was smart, but what was he doing?
You check the rearview mirror and you see a big old pussy staring right back at you, and then you can realize something's wrong. All right, Max Pata, you have to give that to Gary because I need to talk about another podcast.
When we were in Monterey, and there's always like that two-lane long road that goes to the track, and we're all driving in the car, and there's the two cars at the stoplight. So I pull off into the right where the turning lane is to turn right, and then when it's green, I just punch it and get in front of whoever's, you know, on to my left. And I remember we did that, and the guy that I passed was mad, right? He was mad. And then he went around, and he's like, I don't know, flipped me off and went ahead. And then at the next light, he does the same move. And he was a little bit like, maybe that was okay. But he went into that turning lane, then he went around. So I was like, he was so mad that he wasn't mad that I did it. He was mad that he didn't think of it first.
Well, that was my greatest left turn. And I was on the phone with Matt, so he was there to experience the majesty of it.
I got verbal confirmation that it happened.
All right, fuck everyone in the city. And to anyone who won't do this, it has been well over a decade. Zero tickets. Why?
I saw on your crew somebody had shirts made.
Yep. Yes. The reason you don't get a ticket doing this is because cops are cowards who hide by the side of the freeway and look for speeders, or who sit on the bottom of a hill and wait for people to go 44.
They're just quota tickets. They're just quota tickets. Yes. This isn't like
As long as I'm the only one who ever does this, there's not going to be any cops staking out the intersection. You know, every intersection I pull up to has a whole line of pussies waiting for the man to tell them to turn left. So why would the cops be there? I'm the only guy who does it.
It's interesting that you bring that up, because I remember being 16 and in Florida and driving home very late at night. And, you know, I slow down to make a left turn at a stop sign, but I kind of just go through it.
Right.
You know, I just slow down, look, go through it and go. I didn't see a cop. He pulls me over. He's like, "You ran a stop sign." I said, "Yeah, but it's 12:30 and it looked safe to me." And he's like, "Well, I pulled you over just to make sure you weren't drunk and you didn't see it." I was like, "No, I'm fine." He's like, "All right, you can go."
Oh, good.
Yeah, he was a good guy, right? He got it. He understood it.
We had a nice couple in there, and they had the just freaking do it, turn left, Aaron. We'll put that up there, too, which everyone should do. Just free yourself. Free yourself.
Yeah.
I just love how it's evolved.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous about where it's heading, but I think it's good.
Well, here's what I'm saying. The government doesn't waste enough of your time.
Yeah.
I landed in LAX. It took an hour and 15 minutes to get back to my house. And then the following morning, I had to be in Santa Monica. That took an hour and a half. The government has successfully already collected almost 3 years of my life in like a 14-hour period.
It's true.
They want another 4 minutes? Fuck you. I'm turning.
Look, I get it. Like, you have your left turn green arrow. If there's a lot of traffic, having that arrow is the only time that traffic will move and turn left. But if there's no traffic, it should just be the flashing yellow.
Of course.
And you just,
or red,
just,
or whatever. Yeah. It should be zero. You should just turn when you can turn, like you do at every intersection. That's the part that no one can figure out.
The flashing yellow should be standard. Like, I love seeing that.
If there's a lot of traffic, you need the green. Otherwise, you'll never go. But
if I ever do get a ticket, I will definitely fight this shit. I'll go insane with it. I'll probably end up with an explosive vest on at the courthouse.
It's the only traffic ticket Mark Garagos has ever been to court for.
I will show them four intersections all within two blocks of the one with the arrow with no arrow, and go, "How am I to know when to turn left at the intersection with no arrow?" And the answer is, well, when it's safe. Okay, now I will simply apply that to this intersection.
Yeah.
And now you're going to have to prove to me why what I did was dangerous, not why I broke a law that shouldn't exist. And they're trying to get rid of these arrows. They realize they made a mistake. They're just not going to do it, because what do they care?
They still sleep at night.
Isn't there like the first rule of any like driving course is, no matter what, be safe, use common sense? Like, that's the first thing you got to do.
Well,
and then everything else is the rules behind it.
That's my next argument. My next argument is, you know, if the speed.
Wait, you taught the driving school.
I did.
How's that not?
I mainly talked about myself.
What?
I don't like to talk about myself.
They asked. They all asked.
I didn't learn how to drive. I did learn a lot about the guy teaching the class, though.
Yeah.
He's a gig coming up.
He's got a gig coming up.
When I taught traffic school, they would break it all down in like these 11-minute increments. Like, you got to eat up 8 hours. Like, the thing starts at, it would start at like 8 a.m. You'd have to get there at like 7:30 to collect whatever slips and like sign people in and stuff like that.
You were that dick at like 7:31, you can't come in, or no?
Let's all really examine that statement, Max Zapata. Who was I in that mix? What do you think? What do you think I would do when I was teaching traffic school and someone would walk in 2 hours late?
I'll tell you who you are, because I saw him in the cruise. There is a guy working the water slide, and he just let us
the
do
water slide.
Whatever. Like, we kind of were feeling him out. Like, is it okay if we do this? And he just looked at us. He was just so over it. Like, yeah, I don't care. Ray went down naked.
Yeah,
we were going head first, backwards.
Right.
He was just fine with it.
Yeah, of course.
They would do a thing. If you came in 15 minutes late, you'd have to stay 15 minutes during lunch and, like, work on stuff because you had to make your minutes.
Yeah.
That seems
like a pain in the ass for you as the teacher, right? Now you got to babysit somebody?
I'd have people walk in. Here's what I'm trying to explain to everyone. I would have people walk in an hour late or 2 hours late. Like, they'd go, like, because it'd be Saturday at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
And, like, Conejo or Whittier or something, or Sunday at 8 a.m. And I did one in Malibu. The person was, like, 2 hours late. And they're like, oh, my God, I'm sorry. I went to the one I was in,
right,
Torrance.
I
was
in Santa
Monica, I got
or
screwed
Culver City,
up. Yeah. And I was like, sit down. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, all. And I was like, but who cares? And you tell me. I work for Let Us Amuse You Traffic School. I never gave a shit about anybody and when they showed up and when they sat down or whatever they did. My lunch wasn't a half hour. It was 90 minutes. And I fucking spent 2 hours doing the Q&A at the beginning, mm-hmm, instead of the 11 minutes, which the curriculum. Now, it's been 20 years. The other instructors would have made that person who came in an hour late stay during lunch or stay for an extra hour, or told them, frankly, if you came in 2 hours late, sorry,
yeah,
just you got to leave. You got to reschedule. You have to come back another day.
Yeah.
Most of them did that. I did Who the Fuck Cares. Mm-hmm. Now it's been 20 years. How have we fared? Do I go back in hindsight and go, you know what? I should have done that. Or do I think how I think right now, which is, who the fuck cares?
Yeah, who cares?
We're going to be dead. Let's get going. What the fuck? This is why when everyone gets too into something, I'm like, what are you even talking about? We're going to be dead. Just get the fuck out of here, would you?
You're applying that left turn instinct, but just in life in general. Like, who cares? It's common sense.
That's the first rule, is it's common sense.
It is. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're right. All right, so what were we talking about? You went to the auto show, right?
I did, LA Auto Show. It was good. It was fun. We started off in the Porsche room. They don't really have a booth as much as a room.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of debuts there. There's one, they had the GT2 RS, which is a Nürburgring record, which, I don't know, probably somebody will break it in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
That seems what happens these days.
Naturally aspirated?
No, that's the turbo one. That's the big one.
That's the turbo.
Yeah. And that's the car. There's the picture. That's the car.
The GT2 RS, do they call it turbo?
No.
No, okay. Is that for sale?
Yeah, so this is the car that debuted at E3 with Forza Motorsport, which was a big deal.
Oh, okay.
And also, this is the car that when Spike Ferriston was in, he's like, hey, you should team up.
We should
up.
Go in halves. Yeah. She's right.
Yeah.
And so this is just the baddest ass Porsche that's going to come out of the factory.
Yeah, and you can see the picture. It's mean and it looks great. And what I always liked in the Porsche lineup is the GTS models, because the GTS models are all the features you'd want, all the best performance features, but without spending like turbo money. So in the 911 world, yeah, you want the GTS.
Right. You know? I got to tell you.
By the way, that car you're looking at.
We're looking at a Targa.
A GTS Targa. GTS comes with center lock wheels.
Oh, yeah. I got to tell you, the Targa is a beautiful looking car.
Nice.
I don't know what that sort of stainless roll bar, very iconic and very sort of 1973 and before. Porsche does a great job of just hanging on to their heritage.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I'll say this, the Targa, beautiful, and it has so much of the interior brought to the exterior because it has no roof half the time, or when you don't want it. Getting that Targa in white with a red interior,
yeah,
that
gorgeous.
Is just a beautiful,
it's gorgeous, and you get
beautiful
that with a manual.
Combo. And if you're going to get a Targa and you get black on black, you're kind of flying in the face of the whole reason to get the Targa. Get that red interior with a white exterior.
It's got the little cloth top, though. Do you get the top in red or do you get the top in black?
Interesting. I'd have to kind of take a look at it a little bit. My first instinct is red, but I'd like to suss it out.
I guess if you want it to stand out, then you get it with the top. So anyway, the big thing is here we have the Cayman and the Boxster, and they released the GTS models. Now, normally in the 911s and your Panameras and your Cayennes, the GTS slots in between the normal ones and the turbo. But for the Boxster and the Cayman, now you have Cayman, Cayman S, and GTS, and they look great. And they're so well balanced.
And the Panamera. There's nothing up and down the Porsche line. They're all all-stars.
They're fantastic.
Every piece of product is great all the way up and down the line. If there was any company where somebody just went, you can have anything that they offer, we're just going to spin the wheel, but that's what you're going to be driving for the next 5 years, you'd go Porsche. Just spin the wheel. Who cares? You might be hoping for certain ones, but whatever one it landed on, you'd be happy with.
Because you know you can't go wrong with it. Between its heritage and its fan base, and you can't go wrong with it. So here's an interesting thing, though. We drove not too long ago when you're doing the Trans Am race. We drove the new Lincoln Continental, which we really liked. It had power. It had those crazy 30-way adjustable seats. The interior was gorgeous. Well, imagine all of that now in a new Lincoln Navigator. And this thing is pimp. This thing is amazing inside, and it's got those same seats, the textures, the finish, everything. Like, Lincoln has upped their game. They make a small version of the SUV called the Nautilus, which I'm glad they got rid of all the MK whatever, ZC whatever. I can't figure out what they are. That's the Nautilus in white, and the Lincoln Navigator was in blue.
A little smaller. It's got a little Lexus 430 or whatever, for whatever the SUV is. Lincoln, it is one of those things where I'm not a big family truckster guy, but when you pass that Denali. Sometimes Denali's, but like, is this a Navigator?
Yeah, this is the Navigator.
You pass like the Navigator, and you kind of look inside. You go, I could see myself trucking
Wait
around.
Wait, you
in
see
that.
The inside of this, and you're loading this thing up. You're like, hey, I got to take a 4 or 5 hour road trip.
Right.
This is nice. This thing is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I love when I order an Uber and it's like a Navigator or something I get in.
Like
I'm flying first class.
They've upped the game. And this one was a black edition, but it's the blue one. So it's blue interior and exterior. It has all this gorgeous blue leather interior. The only thing I would have changed on it was it has the dark blue carpets. I would have gone with like the gray carpets, like the
mouse hair. Set it off a little.
Yeah, because it's a little too much blue, but the interior is beautiful.
I don't know how Lincoln is doing, but from the amount of commercials and product and everything else, they don't seem like they're dying on the vine. I'm not a big Lincoln fan or follower, but I can say, 7-10 years ago, Lincoln, I wouldn't have bought a lot of Lincoln stock. Yeah. They seem to be back now.
They're trying, and they're trying to separate themselves from, you know, the Ford Expedition. The Lincoln Navigator needs to be way different. They're even trying to make it quite a bit different than like your Cadillac Escalade. Like, they're trying to up the game. You know, they're trying to make it, like, I don't know what that Navigator costs, but if it cost $100,000, I wouldn't think twice about it. I'd be like, it looks like it's $100,000.
Does now the BMW i8 Roadster.
Yeah, so I have an issue with this. So here's the BMW i8, which you've seen before. You went to the dealer, you looked at it. Now they have an i8 Roadster. And my problem is Chris will find a picture. It's orange. Crazy
I was ethnically profiled at the BMW dealer.
Jeez.
I had a black sales guy. I pulled up in my Joe Coy hat, flip flops, and gym trunks, which I'm apt to tool around town in.
Yeah.
And the guy sussed me out, and he's like, this car's $116,000.
You might be more comfortable than i3.
Yeah. You're like, and I'm like, yeah, I know it's expensive, but I'd like to try it out. And he's like, we don't do test drives.
For you people.
But if you'd like to go up to the roof, we have many i3s to take a look at. Like, this car's, it's $120,000. I'd like to drive it, you know, before I buy it. Well, I can give you the data on it. Like, the guy was clearly sizing me up. I got profile. What else can I say?
Yeah.
All right, so the convertible.
Okay, so the i8, which I like.
What's
it's a cool
goddamn
looking car.
Range on this
This
thing?
Is my problem with this stupid car, is it looks cool. It looks way too sporty, and it's not fast. Okay?
Right. But, okay, the first one was, like, looked great. The lines are great. The technology was great. Plug-in range, 16 miles.
Right.
That means I live 11 miles from where I work. That means on a full plug-in for overnight, I couldn't get to work and back.
Exactly my point. It's not fast enough to be a good sports car, and it doesn't have enough range to be a good hybrid. So either give it an extra 100 horsepower or give it an extra 100 miles on the range, and they haven't done either. If they would have debuted an M version of this thing that got 11 miles on electric charge, but it was fast as shit, I'd be like, check out the new i8. But this thing, it doesn't do anything that I would.
And my thing is,
it'd be
the greatest thing in the world, even with 75 miles worth of range.
That's what I'm saying.
I could plug it in overnight, but get to work back and forth a few times, and plug it in again on a Wednesday night.
I think it's a packaging issue. They can't get enough battery or something in it. And
is it still that horrible plug-in range?
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's a little more. I don't know what the new one is, but
I didn't see it advertised as new range. Listen, assholes. I don't want any of this. When you get to work, you just plug it in. Like,
No.
That's not why we have this car.
Yeah.
Or any plug-in car. I don't want to plug it in 11 miles later when I get to work. And running off of the 110 at work with the 50-foot extension cord, you got to run out into the parking lot. 4 hours would get you 2.5 miles worth of extra range. So screw you with that. I want to plug the thing in on a Sunday night and be able to drive it to work and back until like Wednesday or Thursday and then plug it in again. That's what I want.
I'm with you on that. I just think with where these supercars are going and the hybrids are going and whatnot, that this one doesn't fit the bill anymore. Like, it's not quite there.
All right. Let me tell you about Simply Safe. That does fit the bill. Getting a good night's sleep. Easier said than done, especially hear those noises downstairs. What do you do in that situation? Turn on the lights, stay up all night, keep watch, sleep with one eye open. Now you're going to rest easy. You got to get Simply Safe. They'll protect your entire home. Do it very reasonably, very responsibly. Simply Safe, it's a complete security arsenal with motion sensors, glass break sensors, high definition security camera, everything you need to keep your family safe. And you can order it online. Order it in minutes. A few days later, shows up at your doorstop. Just open the box, plug it in. You'll have 24/7 protection. No hard wiring, no contracts, no little zip ties, little zip clips,
the tails of the zip ties laying around.
No contracts, no hidden fees, none of that. Just go to Simply Safe. That's two I's in there, S-I-M-P-L-I, simplysafe.com/Adam3. Spell out the word three. simplysafe.com/Adam, T-H-R-E-E. Get your 10% off and get going.
Yeah.
All right, last car, the Celine.
The Celine, S1. This is kind of this is significant. This is a pretty special car. So what happened was there was a Chinese company that bought a little German car manufacturer, and I forgot what it was called, the Agerta or something like that. Maybe it's like A-G-E-R-T-A.
Celine did their – they breathed on Mustangs, and they had the Celine Mustang or Saline. I don't call it – I thought it was Celine, but anyway, yeah. Steve Celine. Right?
Yeah.
Celine Mustang, and then they had the Celine
– S7.
S7. Those are kind of around and going up a little bit in value now
and they
raced them, right.
Behind this, you can't see in the picture, but in the photo, they had one of the Celine S7 race cars. So this Chinese company buys this
It's got a little, it looks like an Evora.
It looks like an Alfa Romeo 4C, the new 4C.
I'm also going with my Evora, my Lotus Evora, one of those like, hey, it's 80 grand and has a V6, has 270 horsepower in it. It's like, yeah.
Okay, so this might fill the bill. So
who would have known that wasn't going to be a big seller?
And the plastic pieces falling off it. So the Chinese company calls up Celine and says, we want to refresh this car, and they get hired sort of the way Lotus would be hired for engineering and design and stuff back in the day. And I guess they still do sometimes. And Celine comes in and goes, how about we do a partnership and we create this new company and blah, blah, blah. So here we have a new car, largely designed by Celine. It is a carbon fiber body with an aluminum tub. It has a turbocharged V6 with about 450 horsepower.
Okay.
And they say it'll do 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds. They're going to make their own V6.
Not Toyota.
No, Okay, they're going to make their own.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe they design it, they outsource, somebody makes a block. I don't know how it's going to happen. This car will be built in the United States, and it will be built in China.
Uh-huh.
But this version looks pretty good.
Not parts in China and parts in the United States, but either fully assembled or fully built in the United States and fully assembled in China.
Both. Fully assembled in the U.S., fully assembled in China, but the body is carbon fiber from China.
And what can we expect price-wise?
$100,000.
So $100,000, which is pretty workable for...
That's 911 territory, roughly. Yeah. You know, it's like every pretty decent sports car is $100,000.
You're basically paying for the conversation.
Yeah.
You're going, yeah, there's a lot of 911s, and every successful guy out here in L.A. drives a 911, and this is a, what is that car conversation?
It's rear engine, rear mid. It's supposed to be pretty well balanced, supposed to have pretty good aero, and it's making significantly more power than, you know, the Evoras and the Alphas, you know, that we know. So
it's good, and it's a good conversation.
And we chatted with them a little bit about this car. It seems kind of exciting, and the car that you see in here, it's called Beryllium is the color, but it looks like it's just orange to me, but... it's this very metallic-y beryllium color that they've done. That will be available, and we'll get that at some point and drive it, which will be kind of cool.
All right. Go to carcastshow.com and check that out. You got some business there?
Yeah. How about some Geico?
Yeah,
insurance.
Geico.
So everybody's got a to-do list. You know, you drop off your dry cleaning, which I just did my fluff and fold. Just dropped it off. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you pick up some milk, and now you should save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you need some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Go to geico.com.
All right. Anything you want, you go to carcastshow.com and look it up. Also, you can check out some Corolla Drinks specials. CorollaDrinks.com. I got a 5-bottle ultimate holiday bundle. One of each flavor of Mangria, plus the new line of the Cab and the Chardonnay. New 33 line. You guys are going to like that a lot. Lynette's done a great job. We designed the label and picked out
good,
the flavors and everything else. That's just $70 plus shipping, so it's a good holiday gift. So check that out. Check out Matt. Listen to Shift and Steer on Podcast One.
Big NSX review on that show.
Oh, okay. So check that out. Go to Chassis and check out all the movies. 12 O'Clock Boys, you guys should check that one out. I love that movie long before we acquired it. So that's authentic for you. So until next time, Adam Carolla for Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.